when you feel like you don't have that belief, which is easy to happen when you hit those challenges, borrow belief from the people around you. Borrow the belief from your friends, from your family, if you're lucky to have them believe in you. Borrow that belief because there are people out there willing to give it to you.
Welcome to the Happy Engineer Podcast, the place where we help engineers to build your career, balance your life, and be happy. My name is Zach White, a former engineer now turned CEO, lifestyle engineering coach, and your host. I believe that success without fulfillment is failure. Join me each week as we bring you an inspiring leader or message to help you enjoy both. Thanks for investing time with me today. Now let's do this. Take a moment and imagine playing your favorite video game. Maybe you have 10 favorites. Well, just pick one. I'll tell you mine in this episode. What is it that you love about that game? What makes it so fun to play? Now, imagine real life for a moment. Stay with me. What if your real life was actually a video game? In this conversation, get ready to enter the Matrix with Director of Operations at High Impact Coaching, Joshua Church. He helps high performers stress less and achieve more. He's a sought-after coach to hundreds of leaders around the world. He leads transformational retreats in remote locations and helps you operate as a more happy, healthy, and successful human being. And we talk today extensively about video games. More specifically, how your real life can be reframed as a game. And how this mindset is not about escaping reality or some sort of crazy movie, but instead bringing peace and power into every moment of your reality. Joshua is going to show you how to upgrade your own operating system so you can play this game of life at a much higher level. Before we jump into the episode, I also want to remind you to send in your questions for those future Q&A episodes where I will be tackling the toughest questions from our podcast audience about building your career, balancing your life, and being happy. You can send those directly to me anytime via email, zach@oasisofcourage.com. That's zach@oasisofcourage.com. Or just click the link in the show notes. All right, let's hit the start button on this episode because it's time to take the controller of life into your own hands. If you're an engineer and you want to be happier, healthier, and wealthier in your career and life, we would love to talk to you. In other episodes, I explain a bit more, but all you need to know is that I've carved out a limited number of $500 coaching sessions just for podcast listeners for free to gain extreme clarity on your current career blocks and barriers and to determine your personal action plan. Grab a time while they're still available on careerclaritycall.com. That's in the show notes. Click the big orange button, pick a time to chat for 15 minutes with one of our coaches, and they'll take care of the rest. Let's do this. Joshua, welcome to the Happy Engineer Podcast. It's amazing to have you here. Can't thank you enough for your generosity and just the energy that you bring to this. And so happy to have you on the show, man.
Zach, it's an absolute pleasure. So happy to be here. Thank you, Brandon.
So I want to start with you in a place that is near and dear to the heart of most engineers that I know, and it is for me, and that's video games. I want to talk about video games. And you know, whether it's like all the way back from Pong, you know, maybe some of our older listeners who were there on the original days when video games released, up to, you know, goodness, the incredible world of online gaming and esports of the world we're in now. A lot of us have found some level of escape in this alternate reality, a virtual reality that gaming brings into our life. And it's super fun and we spend a lot of time there. But one thing that I love about you, and when we first connected and I got to spend time with you and coach with you and enjoy learning from you, was how you've adopted some of that language and philosophy of life being a game. Yeah. Into reality, into the real world that we're living in, where most of us see these things as two really separate, you know, there's the real world and then there's that. Would you just share a bit about that philosophy and the story of how that came into your life?
So I'm remembering back to the first video games that I was playing, which was on my black and white Game Boy playing Pokemon. And I had like the little light. It was before the backlit devices.
Oh, yes.
So you had the plug in the little light that was over. So being like long car rides from baseball tournaments and in the backseat of the car, like, you know, devouring Pokemon. Super fun. So yeah, where that really came from was this idea of really that we can choose. We have the ability of free choice in this life, which is beautiful. And I got very inspired by Viktor Frankl, his book, Man's Search for Meaning, when he says that everything can be taken from a man, but one thing, his ability to choose his own way in any given set of circumstances. And that was always inspiring to me to see how someone who'd gone through the depths and horrors of what humanity's capable of and still come out on the other side and have that perspective that he believes helped him survive, that he can choose his own way, regardless of anything happening. That always stuck with me, that we have the empowering possibility and opportunity to make choices and decisions. And I'm very cognizant that there's certain countries of the world too that are at different stages with that. I'm grateful to be in America where we do have that choice as well, more so than a lot of other countries. And it's easy for us to forget that. But I really love that idea that we can choose what we want to do. And so it really started for me in college. After college, when I moved to LA, I moved to Los Angeles with three of my best friends from school. And we were dreamers. I had actually left school early to go do an internship at a company in San Francisco. It was supposed to be for a semester and ended up being for the rest of college. I never actually went back. Still graduated from school, which was amazing. But by the time senior year actually came around, my friends were ready to, you know, get into the real world. And we were just like, let's take a shot. Like, why don't you guys move out to Santa Monica? Let's get a place together. Let's hustle. Let's grind. Like, let's see if we can make something happen. We all had this hunger, this desire of like, of this ambition. And yeah, it took all of us individually to have that and then collectively to actually make it a possibility. So one of my friends, literally the first time he was out to California was when he came out to move. His parents have never been out. We're talking about people from small town Ohio and Pennsylvania that are moving out to the West Coast, this massive thing. But we did it together and we had each other. And so that kind of was this idea of like, oh, whoa, like we can do this. You just got to actually just do it. And so that started this idea of, okay, we have power and empowering control. And also there's going to be challenges along the way, like every level of stage. And we can talk about this in a sec too, but there's like, you reach like the boss level and then there's like a breakthrough, right? Yes. So we'll talk about that in a sec, but that just kind of gives you this to set the stage a little bit and how I started viewing that really starts. And like, you're in control. You have the controller in your hand. It's your video game. Mm-hmm. You're player one. Like, you are player one. You got the control in your hands. And you've got this amazing map. You've got this globe. You've got this map. You've got all these characters you can go up to and interact with. You've got these treasure hunts you can go on. Like, you can do it. You've got the control in your hand. Don't forget, you got it in your hand.
That idea of having the controller in your hand, I love this. So I am player one. And here I have it, not to be a victim to the circumstances around me, but to make a decision, make a choice. Where am I going to take my character? Take us from there. Here I am. Maybe I want to buy into that idea. What does that really mean? How does this come to life?
Sure. First thing first, what's the first thing you do when you're starting a video game or you're in a video game? You got to create your character. You got to build the character. What are the attributes of the character? Like, is your character going to have, you know, you control, like, you know, every time you play Madden, you know, you create your own player or any sport games or even any, you know, Call of Duty, any shooting player games or whatever you call those player games. You build the attributes of like speed or agility or height or jump or strength. It's like, you get to build those, and there's certain trade-offs to different ones. So you got to like choose wisely. And that idea was really powerful for me, is also like, we get to be who we want to be. And that's where you start. Who do you want to be? Who do you want to identify as? What are the virtues that you want to live up to? What are the qualities of the type of person you want to step into? And how can you start identifying with that now? Because that's the process of becoming. Like, you are that person inside, but you got to get clear on like, who do you want to identify as? Do you want to identify as someone who's happy, who's healthy, who's grateful, who's successful, who's a business owner, like whatever you want? We're playing dress up over here. Like, it's the characters. You can be what character you want. And I really learned that after I quit my job, that same job I was telling you about that I went to from college, I quit that job to go travel around, just like a solo backpacking trip. And I was under depression. I'm going to go find myself. But what I realized, the big insight from that was that I was unsuccessful because I wasn't lost. And it's not about finding yourself. It's about creating yourself. And my mom shared that line with me. Life's not about finding yourself. It's about creating yourself. Shout out to my mom on that one. She told me that before the trip, but obviously like, I was like, yeah, whatever. I got to go find myself.
Had to go anyway.
Okay, yeah, so I got to go anyway.
Joshua, I want to pause on this point because sure. I used to be in the camp as a, you know, young person coming out of college and the engineer in me, this mantra of, I have certain strengths. I have weaknesses. Some of these things are genetic, if you right. want to say that. You know, it's my personality. It's just who I am. And I don't get to just go take my controller and select the attributes that I want. I need to work with the attributes that I was given. That kind of fixed mindset, yeah. if you will.
And right.
So can you address, what's your belief around that? Is there a limit to where these things can go? And if somebody's not really buying it, what would you say to someone?
I would ask, why not? Challenge that assumption, challenge that belief. Not only have I seen it in my life, only have you seen it in your life.
Yeah.
I mean, what you're doing right now probably does not align with a lot of the skill sets you thought were impossible of having, but you're an example of that, right? You don't have to look far to see dozens and dozens, thousands and millions of examples that we have of humans in our world. So I always look to the masters. I look to the teachers. I look to the mentors who are living it, who are doing it. And they all say the same message. They're like, yo, if I can do it, you can do it, right? We hear that message from everyone. And then there's a lot of validity and truth to that, which is like, we are malleable. And I do believe that there's this growth mindset and it's not a fixed mindset. So that's the first step, is you have to believe it's possible. You have to actually know that you have the controller in your hand. Otherwise, you're watching a movie where you don't have control over. And then it's really easy to be like, well, this is a movie. This is happening, but I don't have control. But as soon as you're like, wait, it's actually a video game. I got the controller in my hands. Then it changes that. And then you start to see, wow, I can do these things. And I would also say, look in your past, because you're probably right now contradicting that belief as you speak. Mm. You probably are doing something right now that you didn't think was possible. You're probably doing something right now that you thought was impossible for you to achieve or for you to do, like something crazy that you once held in your mind, you now hold in your hand. Look at your past. We don't give ourselves enough credit, I think, for that. There's evidence all around.
Can you give us a specific example from your journey where you took the controller in your hand and said, you know what, my character that I'm creating, I want to add and level up this skill, this mm-hmm. attribute. You made that conscious choice to go after it. What's an area yeah. for you where you've done that?
The first comes top of mind right now is when I discovered that I actually liked reading, which was like, what, I was like 21 or 22 years old. I was hated reading growing up in school. I hated it. My parents had to force me to do our summer reading for school, and I would just spark note it anyway. Like, I hated reading until I got one of my friends literally bought me a Kindle and downloaded the book, The Alchemist, on it for me and said, please, I'm giving this to you, read this. So big shout out to Ricky Bodner for that one, because I passed that. That's one of my favorite gifts to give now, is to give Kindle to someone. So I read The Alchemist and I was like, oh, whoa, reading is dope. Reading is cool. Like, learning is actually fun. And then I kind of got this curiosity or this hunger that kind of awoken in me, which is like, I want to learn more. Like, whoa, there's some ideas awakening in me. I stumbled upon a Tim Ferriss podcast. I'm like, whoa, Tim Ferriss, this guy's interesting. He's learning a lot. He's interviewing cool people. I dove so deep into that world. I started becoming a learner. So I created the identity with myself too. And this attribute of like, I'm a learner. I love yes. learning. I love reading. I love learning. And I also identified that that was something that I saw from other successful people around me, people that I wanted to aspire to be like, is that they were all curious people. They were all learners. They were all avid readers and learners and consumers of knowledge and insight and wisdom. And so that was one that like really helped me step into myself.
I love that. I love yeah. that. So, all right, we're starting the game. We yes. boot up the system. I take the controller in my hand. I stop watching movies. I get into the game of life yeah. and I start creating my character. What next? Where do we go with this philosophy of Joshua Church? I love this.
Next step is follow your curiosity. So you don't have to look far. I really believe that those things that feel intriguing or insightful or charming to us, they can lead us to remarkable places. The advice I always give is like, go down the rabbit hole. Whatever like rabbit hole you're just like, oh, there's this thing that I'm just so curious about or I'm passionate about. Like, that's, in my opinion, that's your soul or your higher power, your inner being, God calling you forward and being like, hey, come on, follow me. It's the breadcrumbs. Awesome. Follow the breadcrumbs. They're laid out for you. My life is full of those examples. Building on that time frame we were talking about, the travel time, the post-college time, where I became interested in my learning about education. I watched a TED talk on the education system, and I was just like, whoa, especially after the education that I had, I was like, whoa, education system needs a total reboot. And I became super interested. I was like listening to podcasts and reading books about education and people that are disrupting it, and just found that really curious. I was so curious about that. So naturally what I did was I remembered that I had my old principal from high school who I was close with. He moved to Japan to become the founding headmaster of the school in Japan. And it was like a really innovative school that was founded by like what they call like the Elon Musk type of person in Japan.
Sure. Yeah.
So they're going to have design innovation, mindfulness, and design thinking all built into the curriculum. And it was a boarding school. And I thought, that came to mind. I was like, oh, interesting. So curiosity, and then those breadcrumbs or those impulses, those pings, if you will. It's like a little ping of like, oh, I wonder what Mr. J is up to. I wonder how that's been for him. So I sent him an email, got on a Skype call with him, and I was just like, hey, I'm interested in this. I'm curious. What's it like over there? What are you finding? Tell me about the education system. He was just like, I could sit here and tell you about it, or you could come out here and experience it firsthand if you want. So
awesome.
We can fly you out here and give you a stipend to be doing a teaching fellowship out here so you can like interact with the students and the faculty this summer if you're open for it. And I'm like, let me see. Yes. I followed that. And then it was like, cool, next adventure. We're on to this adventure. And then that led me deeper down into the education system, which eventually led me to connect with a crazy guy named Xander Fryer, who had started a company called Shit You Don't Learn in College. At the time, the umbrella company that I partnered up with, and 5 years later, here we are. I feel like those pings or those curiosities, it's the rabbit hole that's leading you to where you want to go. It's the rabbit hole that's leading you down your calling. It's the rabbit hole that's pushing you forward. And we need to follow those, because every time I followed those, it's led to the most amazing thing. And then just to give one more example here, and I'll hand it back over to you.
Oh, you're fine, man. This is awesome. I love the stories.
Three and a half years ago, I listened to a podcast with Wim Hof, this crazy Dutch guy. He was swimming underneath the polar ice caps, climbing Mount Everest into shorts, and literally rewriting science textbooks because of studies showing how we can actually control our autonomic nervous system. I was fascinated by it. So I was listening to this podcast. I was researching on the website, and I stumbled upon the website and saw that there was the retreat in Iceland coming up that March. And I looked at my calendar and I was open that week, and I felt this pull or this ping. Like that phrase of like a little ping of like, huh, interesting. I was over at my parents' house at the time when I was on the computer, and I booked the retreat, and I just went into the kitchen. I'm like, hey, mom, I don't know what I just did, but I'm going to Iceland. And she's like, what are you crazy? Yeah. And that led me on this beautiful journey of integrating with and learning tools like breath work and cold immersion, which led me to going to another retreat, which led me to eventually hosting my own retreat in the space and doing a lot of work with people in breath work and human operations, human optimization. And then eventually going back just last month to co-lead a retreat in Iceland with the same person that led the retreat the first time with me, like a beautiful full circle moment.
Super cool.
And that also started me and gave me the idea with my cousin of launching this cold tub company, which we just launched last week, of building this portable cold tub. So it's like to think back to when I had that, like the ping was very clear. It was just like, this is intriguing. I'm going to follow this. But to think about like how that led to this and to having a business born out of this and an opportunity to serve people in a way that I'm passionate about of this is like, it's mind-blowing. Like that's how life happens. So go down the rabbit hole.
Yes.
That's my advice.
Go down the rabbit hole. You know, I remember in my engineering career, you know, those who know my story, I had a really challenging rock bottom moment where life had fallen apart, totally burned out, couldn't believe it, just embarrassed out of this world. And what followed was, you know, an interaction with a good friend of mine from church who happened to be a coach. And she just extended the offer, you know, would you be open to doing some coaching and talking through where you're at and what you want to do next and how you want to reshape and reframe your life going forward? And that coaching engagement triggered for me a major ping, to use your language, like the ping of, man, I love this coaching experience, receiving coaching and how it's changing my life and the catalyst that it's been to new ways of being and new actions and new results. I just kept following that, went off and did some coach training, continued to hire coaches, continued to work, and had no idea at the time that coaching would end up becoming my, you know, business and the sole focus of my life, bringing my passion for engineering together with a whole new passion. Maybe just for the engineering leader listening, it might sound like this is kind of chaotic or crazy, but in my journey, it wasn't that one day I was an engineer and the next day I was a coach. You know, this was years of slow pulling those, was one breadcrumb after another, learning, growing, developing. And then there are these step function change moments that occur. But I just am really encouraged by the fact that it's okay to just start small, just start pulling little threads, chase that rabbit down the hole. That's I love it. We got a character. We start following curiosity. We just explore this world that we live in. Look for the things that are pinging, that are lighting up to go take action. Where do we continue to build from here?
Find your tribe, find your sidekicks, your mentors, find your people. And I can't emphasize enough how critical this was and is still for me. I mean, so much so where my podcast is called Find the Others. It's all about finding your tribe, finding those people that are there to support you and lift you up and are on the same page, on the same wavelength, that are going to help you pull you forward and that growth. Because being in that mindset with those people, like, it takes a team. Like, life is a team sport. You need to find those coaches. You need to find those team members, the people that complement you, the people that push you. Like, I love playing, I grew up playing sports. And so that environment is so critical for development. It's like, that needs to continue. And as human beings, we need that, especially as men, we need that. So having that as part of the through line is utterly important. Otherwise, the journey stops. When you hit the first roadblock or the first challenge or the first dragon pops up and you're like, nope, I'm done. I'm dropping the control. Yeah. I'm walking away.
Yeah.
When you got a squad with you, that dragon comes up and you know you got a squad that's got your back, you're like gritting the sword out and you're like, all right, let's go, bring it on.
Yes.
So having the team and having the coach and the mentor, the wizard, if you will, the wise person, the helper to help you be like, here's a tool you can use. Use this sword. Here's a great way to actually, instead of trying to face the dragon head on, like, here's a great way to get to the dragon's blind spot. So you don't have to get, you know, your head lit on fire by the dragon. I don't know. So finding the squad, that's the next step for sure.
Why do you think it's so hard for people in the world today to really build those relationships and find their squad, find their tribe?
You know, it's a great question, man. I'm constantly exploring that. But I think it is that people are afraid to be themselves. Hmm. Yeah, I think that's what it is. Because if you're willing to be authentic to yourself, and it takes a leader to do that, to give yourself permission to be yourself. Like when we are our own authentic self, we let that light shine through. It gives other people subconscious permission to do the same. It's like when we are stepping into ourselves authentically, and when we're in conversation with people, we're being real. We're not putting on a front. We're not hiding. Real connection happens regardless of interest, regardless of upbringing, of race, of anything else. It happens when you meet someone in their authenticity, I believe. And in order to do that, you have to be authentic in yourself, and they have to be also. And so I think that the reason why it's so hard now is because there's a lot of covers on top of that authenticity that we have in our culture and our society. And so it can be difficult to like get through. We just stay surface level. It's like, we're up here on the surface. You got to break past the surface level. My friends always know, it's like, I don't got time for surface. I like, here around me, it's like, there's no surface level here. There's zero surface level here. We got to go. We're going deep into the things. Like, I don't give a crap about the weather. Like, tell me what made you cry yesterday. Like, let's dig in. Like, tell me about your dad passing away. Like, tell me about that. How are you feeling? Like, truly, what's alive for you? What's present for you right now? And for me, like, that's also something that I've decided for myself. I'm going to be that person, and not everybody needs to be that fourth person or should be that person, but everybody should be a leader in whatever element that leads. Accept the risk of leadership, because it's a risk doing that. And it totally. Doesn't get, it gets easier because I don't care anymore. Like, whatever situation, I'm like, no, sorry, we're going to go down to circus level. All my friends can always count on me for that, because that's where I live. And I love seeing people light up when they can subconsciously give themselves permission.
I can tell you the old Zach, and I'm going to use the label engineer Zach, but I don't like that's the label. It's just because I think that'll resonate for people. But engineer Zach is kind of puckering up at what you just said. Like, whoa, you know, those type of relationships, asking somebody about why they cried yesterday, I don't want to have that conversation. Could we just talk about technology, work on the project? And I think there's something about that willingness to be authentic. And in a way, I'm going to circle back to like the very first point of this video game that we're living in, that creating the character piece. I think for me, I hadn't been very intentional about discovering who I was and being decisive about who I want to be. So it's harder to show up authentically when you haven't done that work. It's kind of like, who am I? How do I even show up that way?
Right.
I can just say for Zach, that would have been really tough back in the day. And even now, under a lot of pressure, I feel that pull towards isolation rather than a default of leaning into my tribe. And I know better. And I have an amazing tribe. And I still feel that kind of draw. So maybe for the engineering leader listening, just to acknowledge you and let you know, like,
yeah,
that, you may relate to that same challenge. And it's super, super powerful when you do show up, go deep, build those true relationships of people who are going to have your back when that dragon comes up in the gabe of your life, and you don't have to feel alone in those key moments. That's huge.
Well said.
So this metaphor that we're painting, the thing that I can imagine, at least for me, the first time I heard it was, it sounds nice, but there's still a little bit of like, is this real? How does this play out? And so take us, you know, even further down the road here, like connect it to what does it mean in your day-to-day, Joshua?
It's fun. It seems a little whimsical, right? But it's like, how is this actually practicality? And the reality is that there's no shortage of challenges, right?
Yes.
I think you can probably relate to this as well, but one of the better reframes, shifts, or upgrades I've made in my life is shifting to see challenges as opportunities in disguise. That's something I think that engineering leaders listening to this can relate to, and the idea of these software upgrades or shifts. That's how I often talk about it. It's these little mindset upgrades of looking at something, the shift from fixed mindset to growth mindset. These little like shifts or nuggets that just up-level your operating. Like we're all running some level of operating system. Some of us are like on a super futuristic high-tech operating system. Some of us are running, we're trying to run an operating system on a smart, like on a smartphone operating system on a flip phone. It's all about, in my opinion, like how can we continue to up-level some of those things? One of the bigger shifts that I've made is embracing the challenges and seeing them as opportunities. And it's so freaking hard, man. And I say it every time I'm in the depths of one of those challenges, and it's always just like, yeah, it's a lot easier to talk about it, but like now's the time to be about it, right? It's like, it's great to talk about challenges and slaying dragons when you're feeling good and you got the princess on your arm. But like when you're in the depths of it and you're alone, it's so challenging. And that's the key, again, I think, where it comes back to having your squad or your team or your tribe with you, is because when you feel like you don't have that belief, which is easy to happen when you hit those challenges, borrow belief from the people around you. Borrow the belief from your friends, from your family, if you're lucky to have them believe in you, from other people out there that you're just getting to know. Like you can borrow that belief if you can't manufacture it yourself, because there are people out there willing to give it to you.
I love this. And so I'm going to mirror it back, Joshua, and you tell me if you would, you know, pivot or change any of this, if you see it in a different way. But we look at our life, the things in front of us right now, and it's really tempting to fall into the comfort zone and avoid challenging things. Engineers, we love to go do gnarly things at work. So maybe you like the challenge there, but maybe you have a relationship in your life that's fallen apart and that challenge you seek to avoid. Or maybe there's a boss or a leader in the office that you don't like, or you have a hard time getting along with. And so you avoid conflict, try not to pass them in the hall, don't make eye contact, like whatever that is. But when I take this video game metaphor and I put that into my life and say, and for me, it's I got the Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time in my mind right now. I have to say that. That is my game. Perfect. So here I'm playing N64, Ocarina of Time. I can't even imagine playing that game and not going into the levels where you have to face the bad guys and actually do the hard thing. Like if you don't do, what are you going to do? Just like run around and shoot the arrows at the targets, win some emeralds? Like, that would get boring so fast. And so the idea of, hey, the whole point of playing the game is to go tackle these big challenges. And sometimes you lose. you're going to get killed, you know, in the video game. But in real life, it's like these ideas of what we think is going to happen, the losses, you don't actually die. 99% of the things I fear that are going to happen never actually happen. So if you take this lens and say, right, what in my life would be a really fun, gnarly challenge to just intentionally go and face that boss, have some fun, go for it. And if I die, I die. I get another, I'm going to go again. Like we're just going to keep playing the game.
Beautiful.
Until we win. For me, that's a whole reframe around looking at my life now and saying, well, where do I want to go tackle the next level? Just game on. So is that, am I in the right flow there? How would you articulate it? Are we on track?
Yeah, that's beautiful articulation, brother. Really, really well done. I think that's accurate. It's the whole point of playing the game. Like with my roommates, like we were deep into this mindset, and you kind of need to be to get through some of the challenges that life throws. It's helped me get through a lot. We always said, like, this is the audience is at the edge of their seat right now. This is the best part of the movie, right? Like one of my buddies got laid off during COVID, and that was the mentality. He was just like, he was in his mindset. And he was just like, this is the best part of the movie right now. The audience is at the edge of their seat. They can't wait to see what happens next. I get chills just saying that, right? Like thinking about that. I'm like, that's the mentality that he had developed and he was in to be like, watch me go tackle this. Like, watch me take this in stride. This is the point. Like you said, it's the whole point of playing the game. The challenge, like that's the instrumental part of the whole arc of any film, any story told is the conflict, is the challenge. The conflict is what leads to the growth. Otherwise, we're just stagnant, right? Go seek into it. And the other cool part about that is that you can't hide from yourself with it. Like, you can stop and think right now and think about, like, what am I avoiding? What am I hiding right now?
Yeah.
What am I holding back on? What conversation have I been putting off? What task have I been putting off? And see if you can approach that with this reframe of like, all right, cool. Everybody's got something in their mind right now that they're thinking of. Let's go tackle that. Like, let's go lean into that and see what happens. Let's go find the edge with that. Like, let's go lean into that edge right there, into that discomfort, because there's growth there for you. That's the feedback. And it's hard, but it takes time. And then it becomes easy to rewire that. Like, I literally view that way now. Like, I'll sit with myself in the journal in the morning. I'll be like, what's up? I'll look for those things that are like uncomfortable, the things that feel heavy, because I know that once those things are present, then I have something to work with and I can go into it and I can work with it and realize, like, oh, cool. This is the nugget of insight that this thing is trying to provide me. It's a feedback mechanism. Problems are there for a reason. Like, nothing exists without a purpose, I believe. And so something that's a negative emotion, something that's coming up, it's like, it's there for a purpose. And what most of us want to do is like ignore it. And it's like, all right, well, this door's blocked by a boss on this video game level. Like, I'm just going to go over this level here where I know every nook and cranny and play and shoot my arrows at the targets and just be safe over here.
Right,
but it's like,
right.
No, you just got to get through that door and everything you want is on the other side of that door.
Yes.
So most of us like to push it down, but it's like, let's lean into it. Let's go into it.
It's so fun. There's almost an infinite number of little parallels, but you're right. Like, all the cool weapons or the cool stuff that your character needs to really reach the next level in life are on the other side of that. And you don't get the opportunities to play the bigger levels and the bigger characters if you don't actually move through it. And I love this. I love this. Joshua, I want to take one other look at your journey and life before I run out of time with you today. And I really appreciate you geeking out on video games with me. I mean, it's just really fun. I hope the reframes
love it.
Encouraging to that engineering listener just to say, you know, how do I maybe take life a little bit less seriously, but also get excited and get to the edge of my seat about the challenges that I'm facing and really reframe and look at that as that's the whole point. Let's go. Let's enjoy that.
Yeah.
You have a thing that I always have admired. It's obvious from the moment I met you and I've seen you describe it as that student teacher philosophy. Your whole life revolves around this kind of, I'm a student, I'm also a teacher, and how these two parts of you integrate. Can you talk a little bit about what that means to be a student teacher?
Yeah, absolutely, man. I like to say I'm a professional student. I love learning. And that also, as we talked about earlier, that was a character attribute that I decided I wanted for myself. And I allowed myself to uncover that. And I'm passionately curious about a lot of things, about all things, and taking that deeper. So the way that I see the student teacher mentality is I'm going to learn, but I don't want to just learn like for the sake of learning, because you know, the line I'm about to use, Xander Fryer says, knowledge is in power. It's implemented knowledge is power. Actualized knowledge is power.
Yes.
So it's not just about learning or knowing, it's about actually doing. So I love this idea of learning, integrating, doing, making it your own through your process. And then through the process of doing that, maybe you have something to share on the other end of that. Maybe you have something to teach on the other end of that, right? And through teaching, we learn. And through learning, we teach. So it's this kind of really cool cycle that I love to see. It's wild to me that I was just gone down this learning rabbit hole of breath work and cold immersion And now I have people coming to me as an authority and asking me for my input and advice in guiding them through breathing journeys and guiding them through cold immersion. And obviously I have some like trainings and certifications and some science to back some of that stuff as well. But I have people coming to me on that now, which is really cool. And I realized like, wow, through, but it wasn't just like learning to, for the sake of teaching. And I think a lot of people get that wrong. Especially a lot of coaches, a lot of people want to like, let me just learn, let me get a certification so then I can teach it to other people. It's like, no, you're missing the mark there. Why don't you learn it for yourself? And then through the process of integrating, you're going to be able to teach it at a whole different level, a whole different depth. Like, yeah, I could spit out what I've learned from reading all the studies and reading all the books and do all those things, but that doesn't land as much as it lands through me sharing how I've integrated my life and my story and the fine tuning of it. Because when you do that, you internalize, you alchemize it, you make it your own. It becomes your own process. It's like this machine. You like take these inputs in, you make them your own through actually doing, you get the benefit, you get the results of it. And if that result is there, then inherently you're able to teach it and you're able to teach it in your way. So I kind of see it as this kind of machine. And then through doing that, you learn more as you're teaching. And so it's just it kind of constantly goes back. And the other thing that we like to say is that we also teach what we most need to learn. I'm sure you see this too in the coaching space, but it's like, we often teach what we most need to learn. And so even more reason for us to learn it and like, not just learn it, but integrate it, embody it, be it, be about it. Don't just learn it, but live it.
Joshua, I've definitely made this mistake on learning for the sake of teaching. I am really glad you made that point. And I'm not sure I've ever made that distinction before, because the thing that I was taught was that feedback loop, that benefit of how teaching helps you to learn it better. Go back to college days in engineering school, you know, you're in a physics class, it's really tough, and you get with a study group, and I would teach somebody the material to just help myself get better to prep for the test, you know. But it was always like kind of teaching as a hack to get the result that I wanted. It wasn't something that came from this place of authentic learning for myself. It was like, hey, I know that if I teach it, it's going to reinforce it better. So I'll get more of what I need for whatever outcome. But I've definitely had that experience where, hey, so-and-so wants a particular piece of information. I'm on the hook to provide that either as a coach or as an engineering leader with my team at Whirlpool Corp. And so I just would go learn it for the sake of teaching it. You know, I've got a team of direct reports that I need to manage. There's a new system or a new tool that they're supposed to learn. So I just go get enough knowledge to implement or to impart that to them. And kind of looking back, it's like, no wonder that wasn't as effective. And you know, those are the places where I really beat my head against the wall, especially as a leader, when you know, I didn't really want to learn it for myself, but my team needed to know it. And so I just became this kind of conduit of the information.
It's like friction. You feel that. Yeah. It doesn't feel good, right?
Totally. This is a really important distinction. Go learn for the sake of yourself.
Yeah.
Then teach it as a way to, for one, share and be generous, but for two, enjoy the feedback loop, the benefit of that virtuous cycle.
Yep. And,
powerful.
And without getting too into it, because that's a whole other rabbit hole. But I think this is a big part of the reason why our education system is so flawed and messed up right now, especially in America, is because the people that are teaching, for the most part, like mass generalization here, right? There's amazing teachers out there that are teaching experience, but most teachers are just teaching from not actualized knowledge. They're teaching from just knowledge or theory without actual practical implementation of that. So you get some crazy ideas, you get some crazy things that are being taught, and you're not getting that firsthand experience. It's very different. And I know anybody that's a student can relate to the difference of a professor that's teaching from the place that they learned it to teach versus like they're teaching it from the real experience. There's a whole big difference.
So maybe taking that idea of just knowledge versus the experience of the knowledge, I want to dovetail that, connect it to the idea of we have the thinking part of our brain and then the feeling, you know, part of our brain, or maybe I'll say our nervous system, right? The thinking part of who we are and the feeling or emotional part of who we are. So one thing about you, Joshua, you're a director of operations. You're a systems guy. You're great at technology. You're great at connecting the dots in terms of systems and tools and helping the business run smoothly as a director of ops. And you have a very strong aptitude in the thinking brain, like most engineering leaders who I coach and most people probably listening to this. But you also have a great deal of mastery on the experiencing side and the feeling and intuitive part of who we are. How did you learn to integrate those two parts of yourself, and how do you see the interaction? Like, how do they play together?
Part of me has used my thinking brain to get into my feeling brain, if that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
The same way that I see operations, as I alluded to earlier, like I love operations. I like to see there's like kind of two parts of operations. And these are kind of maybe the two parts of my brain. I love business operations. I love solving problems. I love the operations of connecting systems and streamlining and automating and building process out and making things easier and simpler for people. Like, that's business operations. But then I love the human operations, like how our mind works, like how we think, how we feel, how we breathe, how we move, how we relate, how we feel. So there's this human operation side of things too, because at the end of the day, like, we are running an operating system on the hardware that is our human being. Using that, like, these different frameworks, I've applied these different frameworks that have landed and got me into touch with that feeling side of things and with that part of the body. So that's certainly one approach that I could offer in response to that.
I think that's a really encouraging answer. You know, a lot of times the engineer, Zach, struggled to relate to whether it's deep emotional intelligence conversations or the idea of getting into my body. As a coach, we talk about that a lot, really feeling right. And experiencing what's happening in your body as a way to access the subconscious mind, and talk about rabbit holes we could dig into. But I always had a lot of resistance to that, because I think I was taught, frankly, that this left brain, right brain, or this thinking versus feeling, these different parts of me didn't, you know, I had a strength as a thinker, and that was that, like, just sort of wrote it off. So to say, use your thinking brain as the point of access to go discover and learn and grow in the feeling, intuitive part of who you are.
Yeah.
That's encouraging. Let's take our strength as engineers and deploy it into that space. You'll just start to work. Where would you begin? What's a thing?
I know exactly where to begin.
Go.
You got a journaling or self-reflection, building the self-reflective muscles where you begin. Because when you're able to build the self-reflective muscle, anytime I work with clients, this is where I start. I've worked with CEOs of literally billion-dollar companies, not an exaggeration, and people that are running pretty big companies. And the first place I always start, the people that want to get into their more of the feeling kind of body, is with reflection or journaling. The 5-minute journal is a great resource to start with. If the thought of going pen to paper is just terrifying for you, it's called the 5-minute journal. It's a couple questions you answer in the morning and at night that just help you start to prime and get into that self-reflective muscle. I like to start there and then build from there. But getting that self-reflective muscle, what it starts to do is it starts to put some distance from yourself. That's yourself. There's two selves. Yourself that's in the video game, your player one that's running around the video game, and yourself that's sitting back behind the screen with the controller. Understanding that difference happens from the self-reflective muscle builds that, in my opinion. So starting that starts to build some separation, and you can start to ask yourself, how am I feeling? Huh? Let me think about that. Notice that language. Let me think about how I'm feeling. Right. And you start there. And so you start feeling into it. And it's like, what happened yesterday? Oh, yesterday I was really excited or grateful for this thing. Okay, cool. I feel that. Okay. I was really upset about this thing, or this thing feels heavy right now. You're just bringing some awareness and some connection to that. Literally, it's like if you have no experience with this, you're starting in the gym with a 2-pound dumbbell, but pretty soon you're going to be like bicep curling 60 pounds. It grows very quickly. You got to stay consistent with it. So starting with a journal and getting to that and starting to bring awareness to your feelings and starting to bring awareness of noticing what's coming up.
Yes.
is an absolute game changer. I have one of my clients is actually dialing back his anxiety meds because he's now able to have this tool set of just purely journaling to be able to process through some of these emotions versus before it would go down this like negative spiral and would be overwhelming. But now he has some tools to deal with it. So he's actually decreasing and getting all his anxiety meds, which is amazing.
I love this.
So these are powerful tools. That's the tool you got to start with.
Okay. Journaling and self-reflection. And man, what I love is that sounds so simple. And it is like to start there. And so a lot of times the engineer in me, I want to overthink this. Like, Joshua, there's got to be more to it. Like, tell me exactly what I need to say, what this is all about. It's like, no, literally, please just start as grab the 2-pound dumbbell, start curling. Don't worry about the next 5 steps. I think this is a real area of resistance and a blocker for engineers is we want to see the whole solution from where I'm at today to the ultimate victory at the end of the game. Like, I want to see that whole process right now. Look, you don't need that. All you need to do is this next right thing. And then the next step will reveal itself at the right time. So grab the journal.
That takes a lot of trust. I would say next indicated step. What's the next indicated step I can take from here? What's the next indicated step? What's the next step that's present right now? Let me just take that and not get myself overwhelmed about the future, because then you can just totally suffocate whatever you're working on. It's like, let me just take the next indicated step, show up, see what here. Okay, great. And doing that over the course of 18 months, I was able to launch a company kind of on the side with my cousin, because we just took it one literal step at a time. And then it's like, you look up and you're like, oh, whoa, this is a real thing. Cool. So, amazing.
Joshua, we could go all day, but I think the next indicated step here is to land this conversation with the place I always end. And you know this as one of the best coaches I know, but also as a director of ops and in the world that you live in, great coaching, great engineering, great operations, the questions we ask lead, the answers then follow. And so we want to ask great questions in our business, in our careers, and in our life. So for that engineering leader who's listening, who wants to experience a greater degree of control in their life, of really stepping into that game and moving to the next levels and experiencing more, what would be the best question you would lead them with today?
I have four questions. My actual question I asked earlier on, which is what I first thought of when you asked this question earlier, which is, what are you holding back on? What are you hiding from? Be real with yourself. If you can't be honest with yourself, how can you expect to be honest with anybody else? It's hard being honest with yourself, but life becomes a whole lot easier when you're willing to be honest with yourself. It's one of the hardest things. And it's been so challenging for me as well. Like, nobody's immune to this, but being honest with yourself, that's a powerful question. So I'm going to park that there, but I do have to share as it relates to the journaling, because I think this might be helpful too. People are like, okay, I want more on this. There's four questions that I've been asking and that I've been using for some prompts for myself and also instructing some clients with for journaling. Number one is like, what are you grateful for? And not just like, oh, I'm grateful for my home or my family. It's like, feel into that for a sec. It can be from past memory, like feel into something that you're grateful for right now, like a moment, a coincidence, an experience, some time in the light in your life when you're grateful for someone. Like, reflect on that and feel that. That's a very high vibration feeling. You can feel that. That gets you into the feeling body. And I always like to also explore in my journal, what feels heavy for me right now? What feels uncomfortable? What feels heavy? What feels icky? What feels like I want to ignore? What doesn't feel right? And there's usually always something that's on your mind there, and it can take some time to get to it, but explore that. And then the next two questions are, one, what do I need to know today? What do I need to know today? Ooh. Ask yourself that question. It's a great question to ask God, your higher self, spirit, the universe, however you want to say, what do I need to know today? See, I'm always surprised at sometimes what insights come through when I ask that question. What do I need to know today? And then finally, the last question I love asking is, how did God interact with me yesterday? Or what miracles did I witness yesterday?
Ooh.
Or how did the universe interact with me yesterday?
Yes.
So I'm able to sit and reflect on my day. Look for those synchronistic moments. Look for those opportunities that came up. Look for those sparks of inspiration or those insights, or the stranger that held the door open for you, or the support, the call that you got from a friend. Or look for those moments of support and look for those moments of magic that are happening. It could be watching the sunset, whatever it is. Because it's such a beautiful thing to start to tune your awareness to. And this is magic right here. As soon as you start to do that, you'll be seeing it more and more and in real time. So now I'm going through the day. I'm just like, that's a cool miracle. Like, heck yeah. Like, that's great. Another way I like to ask it is, where are the winks from the universe? Like, you know, those new moments where you feel like the universe is like giving you a wink. It's like kind of a cheeky, like, hey, I got you. So like, where are those winks? Let's bring our awareness to that so we can appreciate that. And then we can see more of those things and we find more of those things. And we realize we're blessed and supported beyond belief.
Amazing. Joshua, this is a massive wink from God for me. I have enjoyed this immensely. And I know people listening are going to want to know where they can find you and plug in to your journey, to your work, more of the incredible stories and writings and photography and everything that is Joshua Church and finding the others. Can you tell us where to get plugged in and get more?
Sure thing. Instagram is a great place to start to get plugged in. So reach out, shoot me a DM too. I always love the chat. At Joshua Dean Church. I'm sure you'll share it. And through that, you can find my podcast. You can find the new business I just launched. You can find my website, all the other things and goodies. So that's a good place. Shoot me a message, reach out, and one of the others, let's connect.
Absolutely. So we'll put all the links up in the show notes. You can go to oasisofcourage.com, where you always go to find those. And I do highly encourage everyone, if you have time in your podcast listening portfolio, to add Find the Others. Joshua's podcast is absolutely the bomb. It's just great conversations. And I love the whole heartbeat of what you're doing there and finding our tribes and the others around us who are swimming that same direction and playing the same game that we want to play.
That's it, man. So that's it. Let's do it. Let's link up in the video game.
Amazing. Joshua, thanks again for your generosity today. Just been tremendous, and wish you a ton of success going forward, brother.
I appreciate you, brother. Much love to you, man. Thank you.
This episode has been brought to you by Massive Action and Decisive Leadership. Okay. No, those are not companies you can just buy success from, but they are qualities you must master if you want to build your career and balance your life. So to help you out, I'm offering my most popular ebook, 49 Things You Must Do to Accelerate Your Engineering Career, for free on our homepage at oasisofcourage.com. If you will take action on just one of these simple tips each week, I promise you will experience a whole new level of results in the coming year. The problem is that we make everything too complex. Success at work is not rocket science. I mean, you might actually be a rocket scientist, and yet you're not getting the success you desire. One engineering senior manager told me that taking action on tip 34 by itself helped him feel happier at work and allowed him to start spending more quality time with his kids. To get your free copy of the ebook, just visit oasisofcourage.com, scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, and click download now. All right, I'm excited to take this and bring it into practical, actionable application for you. I love Joshua Church. I love this metaphor, but I wouldn't be surprised if maybe at a couple moments there you were thinking, like, good grief, are these guys plugged into the matrix or what's going on here? And I want you to know this absolutely applies in practical, real life for you right here, right now in building your engineering career. And the mindset shift that it has had on me since I first met Joshua has been tremendous at key moments where I can step back and say, hey, what if this were a game? And what if I were on the edge of my seat wanting to beat this level? How exciting would this really be? And how can I reframe some of these negative thoughts that are popping in and really enjoy this process and this journey? So I want to share with you a practical application of the steps that Joshua just talked through and how it's coming to life in my own world. What is Zach White doing with this? And I hope that it's going to help you to connect some dots and see how you can take action on these ideas for yourself right away. First thing, before I share the specifics of my situation, I simply want to remind you that you must pick up the controller. You must get into that mindset and become a creator. Become an active agent of change in your own life. I loved what Joshua said about you don't need to go find yourself, you create yourself. And if you don't have that awareness that the controller is in your hand, that is the first step. But assuming you do, and you're ready to take action, to go be that creator in your own life, then step one, creating your character. I like to think of this in three buckets. Mindsets, skill sets, and tool sets. You may have other ways that you carve this out, but every single year and every single quarter, I sit down and do some reflection and then decision making about what I want to create in my character for the coming quarter. And so let me just share with you what I'm working on adding and leveling up in my own character in the game of Zach White's life. One example of a mindset that I am adding in, something that I'm nurturing every single day, is the belief that everything is always working out for me. Everything is always working out for me. I got this from John Acuff in his book Soundtracks. I absolutely love it. Tony Robbins says life is happening for me, not to me. But this belief that everything is always working out for me, that is a mindset that I want my character in this life to live fully, that no matter what is happening, good or bad, that I deeply believe and see through to the end that everything is always working out for me. On the skill sets side, one thing that I'm really focused on right now is becoming a stronger podcast host and speaker, a more powerful communicator. I love this medium. I love speaking to audiences. I love being at the front of the room, but I really want to build a level of mastery in that area to be able to help other people really get to the heart of the matter and make meaningful change in their life. So I'm focused right now on the skill set of public speaking, of communicating, and being a great podcast host. I'd love your feedback. How am I doing? And on the tool sets side, I'm going to get out of the world of technology and tool sets because as an engineer, it's really easy to think about tool sets in that realm. You know, do I need to learn a new code language? Do I need to pick up a new skill or ability in terms of, you know, my engineering skills? Absolutely, that matters and those tool sets matter. But I'll give you a different example for me right now is that I had a goal and an intention for my character in this life to level up my fitness, to get stronger and healthier in my body. And a tool that I was missing was access to a gym. During COVID-19, lots of gyms were closed, didn't have access, and I got out of that habit. So a tool set that I've leveled up in my life was joining a CrossFit gym and making sure that I had what I needed to be able to make that change that I wanted in my character. So ask yourself, what do you want to create in your character in the next 90 days or over the next year, whatever time frame you want to focus on? And put a couple intentions out there. Is there a mindset that you want to build and strengthen? Is there a skill set you need to develop? Or is there a tool set that you want to acquire? Write it down and start taking action to go get it. You have the controller in your hand. It's time to level up your character. Number two, follow my curiosity. I'll share with you an example of how this is showing up in my world is around 5-day challenges. You may have been a part of one of my 30-day challenges in the past. We had a really cool platform that we partnered with another amazing startup to develop and create a tool where we can use some of the habits and practices that are proven to create meaningful change in your day-to-day life and psychology and the results that you create in the experience of your life. And we've been partnering around taking that to the next level. And I am really interested in how we can use that platform for Oweko to offer free 5-day challenges for all of the people who listen and follow and are a participant in what we're doing in this movement with being an oasis of courage and facing fear in our lives and leveling up. So I am following my curiosity into how we can create really powerful 5-day challenges and intend to launch that here in the business sometime in Q2 2022. So that's my following curiosity. What is that breadcrumb that you need to follow? Go get after it. Even if it's only an hour a week, do something to chase that. If you feel that impulse, if you have that intuition around calling or contacting someone, then take the action, go follow that, dive into the rabbit hole. Tribe, finding your people, find the others. You know, this is an area that's so easy to skip. We have our families, we have our neighbors, we have our colleagues, there's a group of people around us, and we don't take a high degree of intention around making sure that the people who are surrounding us are the kinds of people who are going to help us reach that next level. You know, the proverbial dragon at the end of this level, the boss level, who's going to help you face that challenge and overcome? Do you have your tribe? So for me, right now, I know that the tribe that I need most are other coaches who are building powerful businesses in their zone of genius, in their realm, whether they be health coaches, nutrition coaches, mindset coaches, money coaches, whatever it is, who are wanting to make an impact in building companies like mine, who will support me and encourage me, share ideas and mastermind with me. So I'm investing thousands of dollars a month to be a part of a mastermind and be surrounded by the coaches who specialize in this area. That decision was completely built around surrounding myself with the right tribe. Now, you may not have the resources or desire to invest that kind of financial resource into your tribe, and you don't have to. Okay, it's not necessary. I just want you to know that's how seriously I take this. But who do you need to bring into your life? Is there someone in your circle who you haven't connected with in a long time? Go connect with them this week. Right? Are there people that are completely missing? Like, you know what that person would be like, but you just don't have anyone filling that role in your life right now. Maybe it's a mentor, maybe it's a coach, maybe it's just a great friend. Go take action to meet new people, expand your tribe, and find the ones that really resonate with you. Final piece, take the opportunity to look at your life as this incredibly fun and rewarding game to go play that's going to have challenges. And let me be raw and real for a moment. Some of the things you're going through are really, really painful. I don't want to trivialize this at all. Some of the levels that we face are really hard, okay? Real pain, real trial, real trauma that you've been through or are going through right now. But we can let that pull us into a place of depression and disconnection and just falling back and falling away. Or we can wake up, smile, and recognize that this is the moment. This is us on the edge of our seat. Everybody wants to see what's going to happen to the hero, and you are the hero in this story. So why not get up and go after it? What's holding you back? I hope this is encouraging for you. It's been so fun to share this, and it was impactful the first time I heard it from Joshua. Really was excited to bring this to you, and I hope it reframes some things and lets you think about planning your life and planning what you want to create and the success that you want to create from a new lens. So have fun with it, get after it. And as always, if there's any way that my team and myself at Awaco can support you in that journey, we would absolutely love to. So grab a call with us, grab one of our free sessions set aside just for podcast listeners. I love you. I respect you. I appreciate you. Thank you so much for your support. And as always, keep going out there, facing fear, crush comfort, create courage, and let's do this. My friend, that's all we've got for this episode of the Happy Engineer Podcast. Thank you again for investing your time with me today. If you're like me, then maybe you'll take some notes and share this episode with your fellow engineers. Why? Because it will help you learn deeper, remember these insights, and take action. So share this episode with two or three friends just like you who are committed to building their career. Lastly, make sure to link up with us at oasisofcourage.com. Grab our free tools for career growth there in the resource hub, and schedule a free call with our coaching team today. Please just share this podcast with anyone who you think might enjoy it. Until next time, remember to crush comfort, create courage, and let's do this.